Everybody, popculturepros.com, fellow friends, family, distinguished guests. This is the Just Too Sweet Show, episode number 65. We're getting there, brother. We're getting there.
Wow.
We're getting there.
Wow.
This guy right here, Tebebe. That's right. I'm going to keep Tebebe for a while. I kind of like it. I think it's hysterical. But I am Tim Tabala. With me, as always, is my tag team partner, the H of the Z, the one and only king of the ads, Mr. Eric Zant. What is going on, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good, my friend. I'm doing great. How are you doing, brother?
I'm hanging in there, man. I'm hanging in there, hanging loose. Things in the world of professional wrestling have been a little bit quiet lately, not like the bat that just fell behind me. The boss man, are you? Boss man. If you want to come on, boss, you're more than welcome.
You can join us. You can join us.
You and Eric can have a debate over Shawn Michaels or whatever it is you like. You're always welcome on the show. You know that. But yeah, it's been a little quiet in the world of professional wrestling lately, which is why we are going to have a good time talking about the King of the Ring, our favorite King of the Ring moments, the past winners, and those guys who lived the lifestyle of the King of the Ring, not just, you know, won and moved on with their lives.
Exactly.
So, speaking of that, Eric, though, what's been going on, man? Tell me what's going on in the world of the A to Z.
Well, in the world of the A to Z, it's what we're winding down work-wise at the farm. So that's going to be done here soon. So back, just doing the Big M. Also working on material for some new shows coming up for the A to Z program. I got some good shows coming up. I do want to drop a bombshell. Producer Dave is coming back. Believe it or not, I searched out and I found him, and I had to go. Well, first I flew to the Philippines because I heard he was doing he was trading jewelry there for shoes.
I heard that rumor. I heard that rumor. I don't want to say anything, but I heard that rumor.
You did hear. I thought, you know, I wanted to confirm, but he wasn't there. So after the Philippines, I flew to Hungary because I heard that he was a janitor at the Benedictine Cathedral.
And he's very into cabinet making in Hungary also.
Well, that's funny you say that because I saw someone named David moving woodworking equipment into a van, but it wasn't him. So I had to fly back to the States. So I had a layover in Miami, and I said, you know what? While I'm in Miami, I'm just going to go check, see where he is. And I found him. I found producer Dave. He's been doing well. He changed positions in his work, and he's been real busy. But producer Dave is coming back. The A to Z program is coming back full force. We're gonna have, I'm telling you, with the material and the stuff I got going on, you're gonna have a show. We're gonna knock your socks off. You're not gonna want to miss it. So that's what's been going on. That's what's gonna happen. Oh, you can't. The boss is gonna find it very hard to try and cancel me this next time. He's gonna have to concede and say, my God, you're the greatest nighttime talk show host on the internet. He's just gonna have to concede and say that. It's gonna have to happen.
And I would love to see that. Because I think he's always gonna find a reason to cancel you. But he doesn't cancel you. That's the good part.
But he always just that one little 1%. He always
says you're teetering. You're teetering on the edge.
Yep.
That's okay though.
Always on the edge. It is. That's all right. It's good to be. It's good to be edgy.
And real quick, personally, I'd like to say, oh, what we got here? I'll just do it now.
Cut my losses.
and personally, for myself, I'd just like to say I am on a bit of an Iron Man streak. Ooh. For the Pop Culture Pros. I have not missed a show in two weeks. This is the third straight week that I'm going to keep going. Even if you don't want me on your show, I'm coming on. Just keep the streak alive.
Do it.
But if Pop Culture Pros, if you guys are tired of me, just let me know. I'll gladly step back and concede my streak.
How can we be tired of you, Tim? How can we get tired of you?
You get tired of this face every now and then. You know, I get it.
How can we get tired of you?
I do not get it.
I can understand spending a half an hour with Farachi and like being like snooze fest. Let's go home. I mean, I feel like I just took 10 Benadryl. Yeah, I get that. But you, no, never, Tim. You're like the light of the earth.
Ooh, that's a little too nice, but I appreciate it. But yeah, as long as they'll have me, I'm gonna go. I popped on Put It in the Books last night just to piss off one person. We all know who that one person is. And he's not here yet, but I'm sure he's going to pop in any second.
He's going to pop on, yep.
But with that, let's get to our first subject. You know, I'm loving this. I wish Erica, here you go. He likes my streak. The boss likes my streak.
Boss, I am dedicated. I'm on 36, episode 36 of the A to Z program. You got to remember that. I've got almost as many as Jader and Kyle in 1 year as they had for three.
Ooh. That's another. We should get a missing poster for Jader and Kyle and hang it. And before every show, hold it up.
I thought I did see Kyle's face on a milk carton the other day.
And that's in a loving way. Because I miss those guys.
We miss them too.
I want to deep dive into movies. We need to do that. So, I miss those dudes. I hope they come back soon. Let's get started with this. Eric, real quick, let's get into the Dark Side of the Ring, one of our favorite shows that we love to talk about.
Let's do it.
Where we left off with Johnny Canine, which I have not watched yet. We'll have to come back to that one. But Luna Vachon was this past week's episode. Again, another heartbreaking episode of this show, man. So much stuff you didn't know about this woman. Mm. And the fact that she really wasn't, she really was her character. She had bipolar. She was a bit psychotic. She was a bit, you know, she was a lunatic. And then that one tiny piece of her was kind of sweet and nice. And she has a kid and a grandkid. And it's like, holy crap, really?
Yeah.
Anyway, Eric, so Sarah, off the bat, what did you think of this episode? And what do you think of Luna? And did you learn anything that you didn't know before?
Yeah, I did. I didn't know that. Okay, so it was fun figuring out where she tied into the whole Vachon thing. Like, obviously she's adopted into the Vachons, but she was raised by the Butcher Vachon, which is cool. And like, he adopted her and everything. That's cool. But like I said, I'd met her before. I wrestled with her before. She was a very, very close friend to Afa, and she was on a lot of our shows.
Nice.
Gangrel was too, a couple times, I think. And I met him.
Oh yeah, the Gangrel. Yeah. And I had no idea that was a connection. First of all, I didn't know Gangrel was around that long.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea. So go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, he was the vampire warrior back then, I think. And then, because he wasn't Gangrel yet. And she would come around. She was just in between the Bam Bam thing. And it was right before she went back and feuded with Sable and all that shit. But she would come to shows and she talked. You know how she talks like that? Mm-hmm. That's how she talked. I'm like, is she just like, is she working us or is she shooting? I don't know what, you know what I mean? Like, is she really like this? She was sweet, sweet, sweet woman. Like, I was scared shitless, but she was very, very nice. She was very, very friendly. But as soon as she got into the ring, it's like something snapped and she just fucking went crazy. It was unbelievable. But anyway, no, I like I said, you know, that it's tough way to grow up. We'd all know about the Moolah thing. We all know about her bullshit and how she was with the women. And it's too bad she had to, you know, be privy to that. But mm-hmm. I didn't, you know, I never knew much about the allegations that they were making that she supposedly made about like the abuse and stuff. And if that happened, that sucks. And which I don't doubt, like if you're not just going to say that kind of stuff if it didn't happen, especially in the world of wrestling, like, dude, everything, it was the Wild West.
And oh yeah,
I'm sure that she suffered some humiliating times, and that's too bad. But as far as like the abuse and all that shit, I mean, dude, she started out in the 80s when you could get A to Z any night you wanted to, and like, it's like, you know, it was just with her personality, like they were saying, and the combination of intoxicating things, It was just a disaster. Plus her mental state, you know, her mental state, that probably didn't help. No. And then, like, you know, and it was unrecognizable back then. Everybody's like, oh, they're just a crazy, they're out of their mind. Oh, they're okay. And
Gang, you know, we left about Gangrel real quick. He's always been a vampire then. That's just been his gimmick from the beginning of time. I had no idea.
Yeah, I think he was born without like these incisors. I think he just like he was born that way. Just put fake ones. I don't know. But his name is Dave. I know his name is Dave. That's how I was introduced to him. He's a great guy. He was like one of the nicest people. I actually used to say he was one of the nicest workers I'd ever met because he was really, really cool. Like he would literally sit down for 20 minutes and talk with every single person in the room. And he was just one of those. He's a sweet guy, great guy. Never like in a bad mood. He was really, really cool. I messed around in a ring with him a little bit, trained with him a little bit. It was fun. Nothing really to speak of, but he's really awesome guy, man. Like super, super awesome guy.
Now, how do you think Luna would fare nowadays? Because like, you know, they even said back in the day, you had to be pretty. You had to be a valet. You wrestling, women's wrestling wasn't shit. I mean, you saw that title every 6 months. Maybe they popped the women's title. Maybe once a year. Holy shit, there is a women's champion. Holy shit, you forgot about that whole thing. How do you think she'd be on today? You think she'd fit in today?
Oh, 100%. Look at the way she dressed. Look at her hair. Look at how she acted. She was ahead of her time. Because, you know, they throw her in with fucking Sable, who can't even hardly tie her shoe without fucking like pulling.
That was messed up. That whole back thing was really messed up.
Wasn't that shit? Like
that was shit.
She has to put her over, and I think she wrestled Ivory a couple times, maybe, and like somebody who could really work actually. But
no, well, the fact that Sable said, "I'm sorry." The fact that Sable, what did she say? I don't have to be careful because Vince is putting the belt on me, or whatever.
Yeah.
That's got to fucking hurt your feelings, considering.
Oh yeah.
You know, you're busting your ass out there and to be this wrestler and this model is getting her title just because she looks the way she does.
Well, that just goes to show you how the business changed. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't about your work ethic, it was about what you look like. And with the women, Vince all and with Sable, let's be honest, Vince was just seeing dollar signs. He wasn't seeing anything but dollar signs.
And I didn't like Sable. I never did.
Me either.
Wasn't a Sable person. Never was. I was like, all right, she's all right, but
nope, never bought it, never liked it. I thought she was an embarrassment. I agree with Jim Cornette on his analysis of her. If anybody ever wants to go listen to the Jim Cornette Experience and type in on YouTube Jim Cornette Sable, you won't be disappointed. You will not be disappointed. The only problem with that is like I hear Brock Lesnar's like an expert tracker and hunter, so like you got to be careful because he's not even human, so he probably will find you and.
He was whipping his dick out to Terry Reynolds for all we know. So you know what? Everyone makes mistakes.
Everybody makes mistakes. Brock, forgive us. Don't rip my arm off, please.
The episode that I missed was it Johnny Canine? Don't know much about him. I did watch the first few minutes and he's a biker. He ran with outlaw bikers and was he a wannabe or was he an actual wrestler? I mean, I seen him on WWE TV. Yeah. Which I was like, holy shit, I remember that guy now. Like I didn't really know him by his name or anything.
Yeah, he's an actual wrestler. He's an actual worker. He did better on the indies, and then he did really good when Jim Cornette found him and renamed him Bruiser Bedlam. And he was just this crazy fucking whatever, jacked up guy. But in real life, he was part of some biker gang in Canada that were like an offshoot of the Hell's Angels must be or something. Or maybe not, but I know they were a bad biker gang. Like they weren't.
I'll have to watch the whole thing. I didn't get a chance to watch the whole thing. I'll watch it. We'll talk about that on our next show.
But he was enhancement talent for a while, and he was an prolific indie wrestler. He did really good on the indie, especially the Canadian ones that were Canadian independents. And he like I said, he did the Smoky Mountain thing, and then. You know, as personal lives go, he took a shit.
All right, let's move on real quick. Nothing really going on as far as the war. I still call it the war, but one of the funniest comments was that came out recently. I want to mention is Vince McMahon said that they're going to do a half hour free commercial free or an hour commercial free something, and Tony Khan basically said, "Dude, I got more money than you. If that's what you want to do, I could do that too." So Tony Khan's really the one throwing down the gauntlet right now. He's really the one, you know,
yeah,
poking the bear. You gotta remember. We all know you don't want to poke the bear, man. Just don't want to do it. And again, right now, WWE's losing. They're losing right now. It's just a fact. They are. But they lost. They were losing before. You keep poking that bear's going to wake up and take a bite out of you. It's just what's going to happen.
Listen, Vince McMahon is the smartest brain in professional wrestling now, before, and he will be afterward. There is never going to be another Vince McMahon. Nobody's ever going to have his wisdom, his brain. He was just born to be a booker, wrestler, owner of a company, but nobody works harder than him. Nobody does more than him. There's never going to be another Vince McMahon. And as I said in the chat the one night, I said, listen, man, I said, I can remember Eric Bischoff saying, I'm going to put Vince McMahon out of business. That's my goal. I remember when he said that. And as the ratings went up, he was burying Vince down to here, and they were just spending all sorts of money, this and that. When Tony Khan said, I've got more money than him, I can do da 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 da. Well, you know what, Tony? Go ahead and spend all your money and have at it. If you beat him and you do it, good for you. But I'm here to tell you, even though Vince is like 714 years old, you're doing the, because listen, Vince has been at a lull for years now. It's been down here. He can only go up. Remember that. He can only go up. And if something happens and Vince skyrocket, and I'm telling you, don't challenge Vince McMahon, because he is going to find a way not only to beat you, but to take everything from you. Because
why try to put each other out of business? Why not see the dollar signs in a cross promotional event? Why not see the dollar signs?
Vince does. You know what I mean? But the thing is, Tim, is like, he didn't want to put WCW out of business either. He said, if they give themselves enough rope, they'll hang themselves. He goes, if they stick around, they stick around. If they don't, they don't. And they didn't. And he bought them. He saw an opportunity and he bought them. It wasn't like he set out to do it, but they set out to do it to him. Just like Tony Khan is starting to get a little cunty. Mm-hmm. Like he's really doing it. And I'm just telling you, Tony, if you, I don't care how much money you got, you know, I don't care if you can buy upstate New York. I don't care. You're not going to put Vince out of business. It's not going to happen.
What's up, Alex? Thanks for joining us. Creepy singer, Chris, we're not sure if he's over here. Is that the night he died? Was he supposed to play that night you're talking about? The night he murder-suicide? I think that's what he's talking about, right? Was he supposed to fight CM Punk? I don't think he was.
I don't know. Was Alex, he or wasn't he?
Clarify us a little bit on what you're talking about real quick.
Yeah. But
thanks for joining us anyway. All right, so I really didn't want to bring it up, but you know what? We're a wrestling show, so we might as well bring it up real quick. This Thursday is the Crown Jewel pay-per-view. Crown Jewel. Which is code, basically, for Vince taking money from the Saudi government or whoever government, and they do whatever they want.
I think it's the Shah or the somebody of the Saudi Crown Prince, who has like $1 trillion, like literally.
Something like that. I don't know. It is really weird, though. But it's been an event that really has not been...
Hey, Tony Khan, that guy's got more money than you.
Yeah, that's true, too. But there's also an event that really has not been well-received. We're talking about Undertaker almost dying at the hands of Goldberg. We're talking about DX versus Undertaker and Kane, which was an actually horrendous match.
And all four of them ended up in the hospital.
It's like, they all looked old. They all looked terrible. Hold on.
That's what they wanted, though. That's what they wanted.
Hold on. I got to bring it back up again. I just lost it. Okay, here we go.
Vengeance, Night of Champions.
We're not going to spend
a lot. Alex said it was a vengeance.
At vengeance. All right, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this bullshit pay-per-view, but the reason I want to bring it up only because is the finals, they brought back the King of the Ring, which is what we're going to get into next, but that's why I wanted to bring it up. The King of the Ring, and for the first time ever, the Queen of the Ring tournament.
Oh, cool.
So Thursday will be the finals. I don't know who's in the women's. I do know the men's finals is Xavier Wood and Finn Balor. And judging by the way the New Day's been getting treated lately, I have a feeling Xavier Wood's going to win.
That'd be kind of cool.
And he's the right choice because he can play that character.
Big time.
Because as we're going to talk about later on, the best kings have been the guys who really got into the character acting like an asshole. You know, when you just, I want the King of the Ring, I'm cool. It's no fun. When you play that role as an asshole king, fantastic. 100%. I don't know who the women is. That's going to be the men's final. Maybe Raul knows. Who's in the women's final for the Queen of the Ring, Raul?
I guarantee you Raul knows.
I absolutely know. I guarantee he knows too. He's our correspondent, our man on the street.
He is. Raul is like our man of action everywhere.
And again, this is one of those things where usually we can sit back and take a look at the matches and we go, well, this is who's going to win for this reason. That goes out the window with this pay-per-view because this is literally what these princes want to see. And anything goes. So we're just going to read these off. The Raw Tag Team Championship is RK-Bro, which is Matt Riddle and Randy Orton versus AJ Styles and Almost, however you say his name.
Who's going to win? That big, huge guy?
That huge dude.
He's 12'3" or something.
Yeah, he's a monster. That guy. See, here you go. A correspondent on the street knows. Dewdrop versus Selena. Oh, wait, Eric's Dewdrop woman versus Selena Vega. Ooh. That is literally Beauty and the Beast. Literally.
Give me the Beast. Give me the Beast.
So that'll be the first Queen of the Ring. And again, who would be better as a queen out of those two? Oh, I don't know. Actually, Dewdrop would actually be quite funny if she carried that character on.
It would be. I'd love it. I want to see it. I definitely want to see it.
So that's the women's finals then. So that's pretty cool. This, by the way, airs Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Thursday morning?
Because it's over there. So it's Thursday morning at 9 a.m.
Oh, wow.
On the network, on Peacock and the network.
I'm off Thursday, so.
There you go. I'll probably watch it at work a little bit while I'm stuck in an elevator. We got Seth Rollins versus Edge in the Hell in a Cell match. They're bringing the Cell all the way to wherever the hell this place is. Where is it? Roll again. Roll. Man in the street. Are we in Saudi? Are we in Abu Dhabi? Are we in what's the other place with the big buildings?
Syria.
Sumatra.
Saudi Arabia. Iraq.
Narnia. Kuwait. Narnia. I think they're in Narnia.
Sumeria. Like, I don't know.
He'll know. He always knows.
12:23 noon.
What the hell does 12:23 noon mean? I thought it was like 9 a.m. Am I wrong?
I think Raul's texting the wrong person. That's when he's taking lunch.
So Seth Rollins with Edge on the Cell. That's been a big rivalry that's going on for the last couple of months. Interesting. Maybe. Maybe not. The next one is, here we go again, Bobby Lashley versus Goldberg in a no disqualification match. Because, you know, Bobby Lashley put Goldberg's son in a full Nelson and almost killed him. So that's where this no disqualification is coming from. Now, again, are these people fooled by Goldberg?
Yeah.
I mean, is that what it is? Is that these people see Goldberg and they're just impressed by his stature? Not really.
I don't know,
he can't
though.
Do shit anymore?
I don't know how they'd get along with Goldberg, though. I don't know if they'd embrace him. I think they would embrace Bobby Lashley more than they would Bill Goldberg.
Yeah, I'm hoping Bobby Lashley wins that.
Unless his like nostalgia status is what they're going by, then yeah. But
For the WWE Championship, we got the Big E champion taking on Drew McIntyre, who, by the way, I'll take Big E because Drew McIntyre's time is just done.
He's over.
He was a good champion for COVID. He was pretty cool during that, but I think it's just like you can see when a guy is like, all right, no.
He's the COVID-19 champion?
He's the COVID-19 world champion.
Nice.
Women's championship, Becky Lynch versus Bianca Belair versus Sasha Banks in a three-way dance.
Oof.
And I'd like to say, oh, my God. I hope it's Bianca Belair.
Why is that?
Because I'm tired of the four horsewomen. I'm tired of Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks, Charlotte Flair, and Bayley winning every goddamn title.
That's what the horseman did. That's what the horsewoman got to do. Styling. Does she say styling and profiling?
No, I don't think. No, she doesn't do that. There you go. The blood pay-per-view starts at noon Eastern, 8 p.m. in Saudi Arabia. See, he knows.
Saudi Arabia. So name a city in Saudi Arabia, anybody.
The one that we
Addis Ababa, is that one?
Addis Ababa. That's where they found the kryptonite in Superman.
Yep.
See, I know my shit.
You do. Thank God for thank God for Marvel films or DC films. I'm sorry, DC films.
DC Warner Brothers. Don't get that right. We'll get sued.
That's true. That's true.
And in the Universal Championship match, probably. I hope they don't waste this match. I hope they don't waste this match in this stupid pay-per-view. The actually only one I'm really looking forward to is Roman Reigns versus Brock Lesnar for the Universal title.
I'd like to see that one, too.
I think that's actually going to be a very good match. As long as they don't fall into the Brock Lesnar trap of the five-second match and, you know, suplex, the pin, and there goes Roman Reigns' two-year reign of goodness completely shit on in a matter of a day. You know what I mean? You can't do that. You got to get a fifth. Really, you want a squash?
Not a squash, but like I want Brock to beat him. I want it to be like Drago. And then I want, you know, Drago versus Apollo, then I want it to be like Rocky versus Drago. That's what I want. That's what I want.
I forgot to put that up. Put it up now. Anyway, for 5 seconds. Yeah, but you see, my thing is Roman wins, it hurts Lesnar. Lesnar wins in a squash, you just completely wiped out a year and a half, 2 years of Roman being this badass heel. I mean, if he's going to lose, I'd like a match.
Yeah.
10, 15 minute match. Nothing crazy. Just a 10, 15 minute brawl would be nice.
Even 8 to 10 minutes. 8 to 10 minutes would be fine.
That's fine. I don't want to squash either way because you ruin everything. Everything is ruined. Unless you're going to have a run-in and supposedly, I don't think he's making the trip to Saudi Arabia, but supposedly The Rock is going to be making an appearance pretty soon. Whether he's fighting Roman Reigns or he's going to be with him, we don't know. I personally would love to see him heel with Roman Reigns for the whole family thing. I think that would be pretty goddamn cool. True, but on the other hand, I could also see him saying, bitch, I'm the head of the table. I'm the head of this, you know. And actually, that would probably have a lot of cool promos. Rock versus Roman Reigns. Why'd that go off?
He won't. No, there's no way Rock's. No. Rock's.
He is playing Black Adam. The first Black Adam teaser was just revealed. And he is a villain.
Black Adam's he's more of an anti-hero. Like,
but he's going against the Justice League in this one, not the Justice Society, isn't he? Dr. Fate and all those guys?
Is he going against them? I didn't know if Dr. Fate and all those guys were going to be in it.
Yeah, they're all going to be in it.
Is that Android going to be in it too?
Timothy Dalton's Dr. Fate.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's good casting right there.
That is good casting right there. Dr. Fate. Dr. Fate's a good character, though, in DC. I like him.
Well, I agree with you. Just tired of those four women. That's all. I'm just tired of them. It's like already.
Who's Raquel Gonzalez?
And all the NXT people who, you know, they promote the NXT, this, that, and then they just shit on them when they get up to the roster or whatever.
Kaylee Ray? Like, does she live in a trailer park in West Virginia? What the hell's up with that?
She good. She cool.
Where's Farachi live? Lakeland, Florida or something? I don't know.
Like, why are you throwing on the Farachi thing? I love it, though. I love it. I love the rivalries. The friendship, great. The rivalries. They're all great. So, yeah, that's Thursday at noon. Thank you, Raul, for telling us it's at noon, not 9 a.m. I'm thinking it's at 9 a.m. for. If you have time, watch it. It's on the network, on Peacock. I'll be watching on my phone, I guess. Or I'm just going to wait till it's over and I'll watch that last match because the rest of it doesn't seem interesting to me at all. So we'll see. No. Raul's predicting WrestleMania. I heard his first appearance, though, Raul, was supposed to be SummerSlam. Not SummerSlam, Survivor Series. So
they'll tease it then, yeah.
Oh, they'll tease it to death. Yeah. I'm going to say I heard his first appearance back was supposed to be Survivor Series, which, of course, is next month. So that's going to be interesting enough.
Well, you know what The Rock says? The Rock says, know your role and shut your mouth.
And I like it. Most people should take that under advisement.
Is there a Rock shirt that says that?
Yes.
There has to be.
There is.
There has to be. I want it. I want it now.
There is, and we're getting. I'm gonna get one that says, "I just turned heel." I think I saw that shirt. I thought it was hysterical.
That's pretty good.
I'm gonna have Sam make me one though. To, you know,
I want one that says, "Who booked this shit?"
I'll tell her. Send me a shirt. I'll tell her who booked this shit. That's good.
That's a good.
And one. I'll wear. I just turned heel, and we'll go to that wrestling event in November.
Awesome.
All right, let's move on real quick. We're gonna talk a little bit about King of the Ring, the complete history of the King of the Ring. Well, not complete history, but we're going to have a little fun with this. We're going to wing this part. And I like
bullet points of the King of the Ring.
I like when we wing stuff, Eric. I think we get good when we start winging and bullshitting. So
that's the only way to go.
And we're going to talk about our favorite kings. And obviously, everyone who watches this show and knows me knows who my favorite king is. Maybe I'll surprise you. I'm probably not going to. But yeah, so let's go back all the way. So July 8th, 1985. Your boy was 10 years old. This guy.
So was AZ.
10 years old we were when the very first king was pronounced. Eric, who was the king?
King was actually Don Morocco.
Don Morocco, which I had no idea. He was the very first King of the Ring. I thought that was very interesting. And he beat the Iron Sheik.
Oh, is there anything better than waking up in the morning and finding an Iron Sheik tweet?
Yeah, I know. He's pretty damn funny.
That's great.
And the guys that run his page say that's 100% Sheik. It's not like, you know, ad-libbing.
Oh, yeah.
Nothing. It's 100% Sheik all the way.
It's all caps. He fucks everything up.
Yeah,
Fuck the COVID and fuck the jabroni Hulk Hogan.
You always got to throw Hulk Hogan under there, which is fantastic.
It's the greatest thing ever.
And Hulk Hogan, his response is always, "All right, what am I going
to do? Okay, brother. Okay,
all right, brother. You're fucking crazy, brother. I know you're crazy." So I had no idea Dom Ra. Do you remember that tournament? I don't remember that tournament even.
Yes and no. Not particularly, but I do have a vague memory of it somewhere. With the brain cells that haven't been burnt out by drugs, there's something in one of the hemispheres of my mind that remember that. Gotta remember, 1985 was big for kids like us. I mean, we had Dungeons and Dragons cartoon, He-Man, the Thundercats, and wrestling and all that shit, and
here comes the one. We were kids, things were better, damn it.
They were better. That KB
they were
toys,
better.
They were. And you, like, when you go to a toy section, there were fucking walls of wrestlers and walls of Transformers.
But remember, seriously, a quick tangent. Okay, I like that you said that, but I'm gonna go on a slight tangent. Saturday morning cartoons, dude, they were the best.
There was no dude. Do you remember, you could even get up at 6 o'clock and be like, that last infomercial with like, "Hey, now if you act now, I'm going to throw in an extra snow brush."
And back then, they weren't even that elaborate. They were just like boring bullshit.
Yeah, some like fat guy with a fucking like a three notches and a belt going, "I tell you what, if you want to go on a rock and do nothing," but it's like, that's what was going on. You had this like really ugly old lady that still had a beehive. And she was like mixing shit in some blender. And she's like, "Look at, I just put a carrot and a small child. Watch." And then she'd blend the.
And Tupperware. You could put all your shit in this thing and they all stack up nicely.
Yeah.
And then that screen would go black and then boom, your cartoons would start. And we had the best fucking cartoon, man. I'm sorry. We did. If you try to sit down now and watch some of those cartoons, they kind of suck. But then.
They do, but they don't.
What was one of the best ones? Rock and Wrestling.
Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling.
Come on. We have to do a show about that one day.
We do. We need to do a Hulk Hogan. I feel like nobody has touched that. And any show, on any medium, I don't really think I've ever heard of anyone talking about Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. We're going
to
do
I think I'll try to find two particular episodes and we'll talk about that. We should talk about Rock and Wrestling in general with Cyndi Lauper and the Goonies and
Roddy
Piper and yeah.
Oh, man. Come on. That was what an era, man. The WrestleMania era.
That's a good subject. But yeah, man, we had so many great cartoons. It all capped off with Looney Tunes, which was still on fire back then.
It was still going. Can you imagine? It's like the Like, the only thing that comes close this day and age with the longevity is probably SpongeBob. Like, he's...
Yeah, he's still going, that guy.
He's still going, movies, that guy.
Movies and shit.
Edible underwear, I think I heard SpongeBob has. I don't know. It's just going crazy over here.
Krabby Patties.
Huh? Fuck the Simpsons. They're fucking stupid.
But they're not Saturday morning.
They're not kids' cartoons. Dude, that's like just Homer Simpson going doop and Bart going, hey, dude, don't have a
They're prime time. They're prime time. That's Saturday morning.
They're prime time. They're adult. They were the first adult cartoon. I'll give you that. She wants to sit here and have an argument with me about SpongeBob and the Simpsons. I mean, you imagine
holy
this
shit, Eric. Look who's back.
Oh, what's Bambi say? Fraggle Rock.
Bambi, welcome back. I haven't seen you in a long time, at least watching this show. Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
Was Fraggle Rock Saturday morning, though?
It was HBO. But no, it was HBO, but they did have a Saturday morning cartoon. Little known.
Oh, the cartoon. You're right, the cartoon.
They did.
I like where you're at, Bambi. But
regular old Fraggle Rock was fucking awesome. It was fucking awesome.
It did. All those great shows. All right, let's get back. But yes, we will do a rock and wrestling show one day. And we also, I might as well announce that too, we want to do a special crossover with the Granny Speech Tea Guys, and we want to watch No Holds Barred and relive that piece of shit
frame by frame,
which is going to be hilarious.
Are we going to do Quaaludes when we do that?
I think we should at least snort something or shoot something or get drunk or to watch that goddamn mess again. But I think it'll be hysterical if we do that crossover show.
We should definitely snort something and drink a couple of adult beverages and watch No Holds Barred.
And we'll do that with those guys, and they'll come on, and we'll.
I don't care. I don't care. Ed's got to get fucked up somehow. So he will. Oh, Ed's into it.
He's into it.
Awesome, Ed. Like you more.
Bambi, I'm good to see you back. I thought you left us for another wrestling show. I was very upset.
Yeah, we were really concerned about that.
It's true.
We were usually every week we're like, what the fuck? Where'd everybody go?
All right, so let's move on. Don Morocco, though, he didn't really wear the crown and the robe, right? Walk around. He just won.
No, it was ceremonial. It was just the tournament was ceremonial, and
which is no fun. Because why? Because the following year, July 14th, my daughter's birthday, 1986, the great Harley Race won the king, and he walked around like he was the goddamn king. He called himself the king and put his head up like the Cowardly Lion, and he played that role very, very well. And he beat Pedro Morales in the finals.
Wow.
Pedro Morales still around in 1986.
Two old crusty veterans, like fuck. Harley Race versus Pedro Morales.
And next, you know who's next? Who's next? September 4th, 1987. The Macho Man Randy Savage makes his ascension to the throne with Queen Sherry by his side to become, in my personal opinion, the greatest king of all time.
The greatest king of all time.
Because you have to live it. You can't just say I'm the king. And people are going to say, oh, I know Raul, Stone Cold Steve Austin. So, yes, okay, he won the tournament, but he didn't live the gimmick.
No.
Savage lived, he became the Macho King.
He was the Macho King.
He had the crown, he had the scepter, he had Queen Sherry with him. Phenomenal. He beat King Kong Bundy in the finals, too.
Yeah, he beat
a king to become king.
When you beat Bundy, you not only take the match, you take his name with it.
That's right. I think that's what it was. Now he's just Kong Bundy.
Just Kong Bundy.
But Randy Savage really played that role well. I mean, he became
a
real shit heel, and he really became his biggest rivalry as king was Dusty Rhodes, baby, and Sapphire.
I heard Dusty Rhodes coming out.
Sapphire. I hate Sapphire. See, that's the thing. That's why I hate Dusty Rhodes. That polka dotted, grossly fat dude. I liked old school Dusty Rhodes like everybody else should.
Yeah, and if they brought him in as just the American Dream Dusty Rhodes without the polka dots, which he was the American Dream. I mean, yeah, and you got to give Dusty his due. Dusty was, I mean, you have Hulk Hogan, Flair, and Dusty Rhodes is probably next one. Like, he was popular. Dusty did it all. He was the working man, right?
The common man. That's what it was.
He's the common man.
The common man.
He's the common man.
So they were trying to get over. They were trying to get over on that on the speech, but not be able to use the speech because that was NWA property at the time. Or, you know, the famous
the hard times.
Hard times speech. Yep. So he's just a common man. I'm a common man, baby.
Dusty. Oh, there's nothing better than a Tim Dusty. Dusty.
Dude, how you know what? I gotta throw the gauntlet down now. I'm throwing it down.
Do it.
We promised last year we were gonna do a Halloween thing.
I think we
have to do it this year. We have to get Dave to come back from wherever he is. We gotta get Bert back. I even want the boss to get on here. We gotta do a little costume thing.
Oh, we gotta dress up as a wrestler?
We gotta do it. I still say the Dungeon of Doom would have been great.
It would have been great.
Just because I would not stop laughing the entire show. The show would be literally us laughing.
It would.
The entire time.
And whoever was the Zodiac, all everybody would do would laugh every time they talked.
We'd all have to be dungeon members, and then I'd have like Jax walk in the background just screaming, "Ah, this is hot. I've never been here before," just do all the Hulk Hogan stuff.
Oh, the Hogan shit? That'd be so great. That would be so great. I kind of think I want to be Kamala. Or do you want to be Kamala Tabala?
I could be Kamala Tabala. That's fine. But I'm not taking my shirt off. I'll get a brown shirt, and I'll have Sam put the moon and the star on it.
Yeah.
Then I'll get the face paint.
I kind of think I want to be... I want to channel my arch nemesis. I think I want to be the Zodiac.
That's nice. I think
I want to... Yeah, and we would get the boss on his giant bald head to paint the lightning bolts.
He'd be like Kevin Sullivan.
Like Kevin Sullivan.
Taskmaster, I like it.
Who could Bert be? Bert could be... how many fucking Dungeon of Doom there were? Is Bert the Yeti?
He could be the Yeti.
Bert's the Yeti, isn't he? He is the Yeti.
Bert's never here. He has to get the worst character, so...
He does, yeah. And I don't know. Does that leave Dave to be Tony Schiavone? I mean, I don't know. Somebody's got to hold the mic. And well, he can put like a red tie and a...
Bert replaced us for free screenings, which... In a way, I don't blame you, Bert,
but that's shitty, Bert. To throw your bros under the bus to get free shit from the boss. You know, here I am trying to do shows, and I'm the single greatest nighttime internet talk show host there is for my medium. I am. And I literally get week in and week out threatened to be canceled. Now my fans are all the ones because the boss gets so many emails, messages. He can't take it. He's like, well, I'll give him one more shot. But Bert, Bert, you throw your bros under the man, who, the hardest working man in pop culture pros, who's on every show, and then the greatest talk show host of all time, you throw us under the bus. Not just the fucking Greyhound bus, the shitty Greyhound bus.
Peter Pan or one of those buses.
Yeah, Peter Pan, like where the bathroom, I mean, it smells like chicken shit. You know, it's been sitting there so long, they haven't emptied it. There's like some old lady. They're like playing bingo with potato chips. Bert,
I agree.
Bert, you gotta come back, Bert. You gotta come back and be the Yeti.
I agree. Halloween, something. What do we got? 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
We'll figure something out in 2 weeks. We have to
figure something out.
We chickened out last year. We got to do it this year. Even though last year we did Halloween Havoc, which was actually one of the funnest shows we've ever done.
That was one of the greatest shows we ever did.
Because everybody wants to watch a great show. Go back a year. On YouTube or on anything, and you watch our Halloween Havoc special because it is just those shows are just a fucking disaster.
And it was so fucking funny.
And we had so much fun doing it.
We do have we have a lot of fun.
We did. All right. So after Randy Savage, his reign as king came to an end. Actually, he lost to Ted DiBiase the following year in the finals. Mm-hmm. Ted DiBiase didn't live the gimmick.
He was already the $1 million man. He's the king.
Yeah, he don't need to be king anymore.
He don't need to be king anymore. The
following year, again, shocking to me. October 14th, 1989, Tito Santana beats Rick Martel?
Yep.
Where the hell was I during that?
I think the King of the Ring...
Didn't live the gimmick either. He didn't live the gimmick.
No, but it like culminated on Superstars, I think, or on Wrestling Challenge or something. Like that's where they had if I remember correctly, and that's what set up. He became the model right after that, and Tito became El Matador.
Was set up by that. Wow. And 91 and 93. Good, Eric. I'm sorry.
Well, which, by the way, I'd be curious to see what people think of regular Tito versus El Matador Tito.
I like regular Tito.
I like regular Tito too.
He was one of those dudes. You slap a gimmick on him, and he seems silly.
He did
because it's the same exact guy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's Tito Santana. I mean, like you said, Rick Martel to the model is a complete different shift in character and attitude. El Matador is just throw a fucking bullfighter's jacket on him.
On Tito,
stupid. Yeah. So I'd go with regular Tito. Just me. 91.
We got a deep thought. No. Deep coming thought? Through.
No.
What?
I'm putting this on the mac and cheese. Right. This just fucking fell out of it. I shit you not.
Oh, we have really?
Yeah, it just came out of it.
So she's dumping French fried onions on the mac and cheese, and this fell out of it. It's just packaging material. I mean, it's like, it's not like, is there any more in there?
I don't know.
Well, I mean, you know how much plastic you probably eat? You're like a fish. Like, everybody eats plastic.
Is that what you say in
here? What? Is that what you say in here or something? I don't know. Maybe, like, I don't know. You know what? I don't have an answer for it. But anyway, Tim.
Look at this food corruption live on the Just Too Sweet show.
Yeah. Well, we exposed Best Yet with their French fried onions. We got fucking evidence right here. It fell out. There
you go.
Wow. Just let me eat it. You know I won't die. Right now. I'm not going to eat that right now.
91 and 93 of all things, it says back to back champion Bret the Hitman Hart beating Urban R. Scheister and Bam Bam Bigelow. I remember you had a question too. You didn't know he was back to back, right?
We thought he was, but I wasn't sure that he was. But he definitely is because they didn't do one in 92.
I guess not. It says back to back 91 93. It doesn't say 92.
Wonder what happened in 92.
You know, the King of the Ring is one of those things that just vanishes. It comes back whenever it feels like.
Whenever it feels like it, yeah. Just kind of like Vince, like, ah, it's the King of the Ring this year. Ah, son of a bitch.
You are correct, sir. He was a good working man. He was an old school dude. That's why he doesn't need a bullfighter jacket and a fucking stupid hat.
Tito was fucking awesome.
He was. Looking back on it, you have to appreciate him now.
You really do.
1994, Owen Hart defeats Razor Ramon to become the King. And here again, another guy who embraced the gimmick. Good for you, Owen. I guess
the King of Hearts.
I guess the King has to be heel and an asshole for it to be successful.
That's what it's. Yeah, I think they realized that with Owen.
Yeah,
and Savage.
Oh yeah, he was definitely an asshole. I'm not going to under concede.
It was great.
Asshole.
No, but it was so great though. He was like the greatest King. He was the greatest King.
Following year 95, Mabel. Beat Savio Vega. Now, Mabel did live the gimmick. As a matter of fact, he had people carrying his fat ass to the ring, which was like, whoa.
Did you see those guys shaking that fucking thing? I mean, this 1,400-pound fucking guy, and they're all shaking on this rickety fucking thing they're holding the King on. Mabel was 600 pounds.
That guy was no joke.
Let's not, like beat around the bush here. He was 6'9", 600 fucking pounds. Carrying this fucking guy around. You got these little jobbers that are fucking like got buggy whip fucking arms and their eyes are bugging out of their fucking head and they're shaking like fucking dog shit and thumbtacks. And finally, like, they get the high sign for Vince to set him down. And that fat bastard almost falls off the fucking thing, breaks all their fucking necks. And it's like, come on, man, this is a fucking joke. Then he hurts The Undertaker.
Yep. But he lived the gimmick. So that's why
he lived the gimmick.
He's going into the finals. As far as who lived the gimmick. So he has to go in that finals. The following year is when it all changed, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, Raul, here it comes. And the boss, if you're even watching. The following year is the most famous one of all time. Stone Cold beats Jake Roberts. It's the birth of 316. The birth of Stone Cold Steve Austin. But he did not live the gimmick. So he does not qualify for the best King of all time. I'm sorry.
No,
we make
the
rules on this show.
I agree.
That's how we roll. If we were doing the greatest wrestler to ever win the tournament, okay, we can throw Austin up there as one of the greatest. But he did not
up there, yeah.
Yeah, but he was not the greatest King because he did not live the gimmick. The following year, Hunter Hearst Helmsley, who kind of was a King anyway, a blue blood, a snobby blue blood royal character.
Yeah, he was supposed to win the year Austin did.
But when he did win, he was Triple H. So technically, you know. Why was he Triple H by then?
No, he's still Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
Oh, he's still Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
That was the birth of DX right there. Like,
you're right. Yeah, he beat Mankind. Again, doesn't qualify as greatest King of all time. Following year, Ken Shamrock defeated The Rock.
That's right.
June 28th, 1998. Ken Shamrock gets a win over the. Wait a minute. Let me do a little more investigation here.
King of the Ring.
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Doesn't really give me the.
What happened in Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
I don't think anything happened in Pittsburgh.
I think Ken Shamrock did anything worth in WWF.
No, just steroids and pills. That's it.
Like... all right. The following year, Billy Gunn, 1999, defeats
Mr. Ass Xbox. Himself.
Mr. Ass. Two DX members going at it for the title, both for the King, and they win. And again, Billy Gunn did not lose the gimmick. He does not qualify.
No, he was just Mr. Ass.
Donnie, this is the first time I'm seeing you.
You're not wrong.
But I want to welcome you to the show, and you are automatically raised to a level of fandom on this show because you are correct. The greatest King.
You just got moved up to top one of the top fans, Donnie.
Exactly. You're not better than Raul, but you're up there already, Donnie. You're already up there.
Nobody's listen. We that's not an insult to anybody because nobody's better than Raul. Like
nobody.
Everybody, anybody that, and we all love all our fans, and you guys are the greatest. But Raul is special to us, and like he's a good, not just a good fan, he's a good friend.
Well, Bambi's back, so she can maybe take her spot back soon.
Yeah, Bambi's like, you know, and Raul, but like Raul, let's be honest, and we take advantage of him because he is a walking fountain of knowledge. Like, you can ask him anything at any hour, any time about anything to do with sports, he knows.
He's our correspondent. He's our correspondent.
He is our paid.
He's our Google.
Domestic. Yeah. He's our Ask Raul. Ask Raul. We should do an episode with him. Ask Raul. Get him on.
Anytime you want to come on, Raul. I told him. Anytime you want to come on, you are more than welcome to come on. Absolutely. You are correct, Raul. That's what made that show famous that year. What was famous that year? Undertaker, Mankind, Hell in a Cell was the reason that pay per view was so big.
Yep, it was. And Bambi, don't sell yourself too short. You know, you and Raul like have been since the inception. So it's like we would never, ever. It's like comparing, you know.
Oh, look, Donnie's from up north. He's from Heart Country.
Donnie, you're from Toronto. I used to vacation in Toronto. I used to, my God, Dundas Street East. I used to go on College Street. There was a nice place to eat on College Street. I can't remember what it was. But there was a cool Mexican restaurant on Queen Street down by Blue Jay Way. Can't remember what it was, but well, we Donnie, saw the second city up there. I know Toronto.
Well, we appreciate you, Donnie. I don't know how you found us, but thank you for finding us. Please share Donnie, us right out here. To all your friends. Spread right us here. Out to all your friends. We want to make the show as big as possible. We appreciate you. Donnie. Thank you so much. Oh, look, speaking of another member of the show, we're getting a hey yo from our good friend Gil.
Oh, Gilberto. Did you? Yeah,
What movie are you seeing tonight, Gil, that you can't come on our show?
Yeah, that you can't just drop in and say hi.
What's out this week? Dune. Are you watching Dune, Gil? Is that what you're doing right now?
King of the Ring 2002 was underrated.
That's either, oh, no, it's 98. We're talking about how who cares about Ken Shamrock versus The Rock, but that also had Kane and Austin, and it had Undertaker and Mankind in the cell. You're right, Raul. That was a very good pay-per-view, but no one cared about the King of the Ring, actually. And he's saying King of the Ring 2002 was underrated. We're going to get to that one. That's Brock Lesnar versus, who was that?
That was Brock and...
Rob Van Dam, of all people.
Oh, boy. He's kind of a cunt, too.
I'm not a Van Dam guy.
Not really. I met him once. He was a super douche. He seems like a douche. He is, and I'm sorry that you're fucking 4'11", and, you know, you got big arms and you're flexible. But, you know, I'm sorry you and Sabu were fucking both like this fucking tall and intimidated by a young 20-year-old that was built and in shape. Sorry I didn't smoke pot back then like fucking chimneys like you two did. I don't want to run Sabu into the ground because Sabu was actually really fucking cool to me. But Van Damme, all he does is talk shit and thinks he's so tough. Fuck you. I'll fucking fight you, you fucking cunt. So that's all I got to say about Rob Van Damme. He's all fucking talk. You're a big fucking mouth, and you're all talk, Rob Van Dam. Fuck off.
I would take you in that fight, Eric. You know I would.
Oh, I know you would. Oh, fuck that. He has no chance. I don't care how many fucking splits you can do. I'll split your fucking head open.
Splits. All right. Oh. Let's move on.
Did you see what Donnie wrote?
The Brooklyn. Yes. Against who, I don't know.
Didn't he beat the Red Rooster that one time?
Or did the Red Rooster beat yes. him? Yes. Did he beat the Red Rooster because that's how he turned good because Bobby Heenan was so mad that he lost to the Brooklyn Brawler?
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, please, Eric, don't hold back. I won't because, listen, quick.
Eric is very passionate, especially because he knows some of them and he knows they're pricks.
Listen,
that's why he's our insider.
Exactly. I was young and I was young and a bit very green, very new, probably eight months. And I went to a match and a VCW, and we were there just for in case we were needed to get our asses kicked by somebody. You know what I mean? Because Enhancement Talent did that back then. We weren't needed. And most of the guys in the locker room were fucking like out of their mind pricks. The ones that you wouldn't believe, okay, how about this? The ones who you would imagine were assholes weren't, and the ones who you thought would be cool were assholes. Like that's, and Rob Van Dam was the.
I never thought he'd be cool. He looks like a douche. He always did.
Well, then you're not wrong because he is the biggest douchebag I've ever met in my life. And if you see his interviews, he's always like, well, he throws people under the bus. He thinks too highly of himself. Rob Van Dam, they threw you a bone once and they gave you the world title. You're not Shawn Michaels. You're not Stone Cold Steve Austin. You're not The Rock. You're not even Chris Jericho. And that's not saying much because Chris Jericho's not really one of the greatest, in my opinion. He's maybe top 50, but you're top 8,000. So go back to Michigan, smoke pot, and be a fuckhead, Rob Van Dam. I'm done. I'm sorry, everybody, but no, he was just such an asshole.
I smell another show coming. A Rob Van Dam.
He was such an asshole. He was an asshole.
I only seen him at that independent show, Big Time Wrestling, out in Long Island, and he was the big main event attraction. And I didn't give a shit. I didn't give
a
shit.
As you shouldn't.
Yeah, he was like a big turd.
Turd. I'm going to name myself after Jean-Claude Van Damme, who's not even a real martial artist either.
All right, Eric. I want you to calm down.
Yes, we got to calm down.
In 2000, Kurt Angle defeated Rikishi.
What?
And again, didn't live the gimmick. 2001, Edge defeats Kurt Angle. Didn't live the gimmick.
Really? Didn't live the gimmick.
It's all about living the gimmick with us.
I hope I didn't scare Donnie away with that tangent. But
nah, he's from Canada.
He's from Canada. He's cool. He's passive.
He's good to go. 2002, which is what Bert was talking about. He says it's very underrated. You know what, Bert? I trust your opinion. I will peruse the 2002 King of the Ring when I get a chance to see what you're talking about. But Lesnar defeated Rob Van Dam.
Good.
I know you're happy.
I wish he hurt him. Yeah, if you're so tough, Rob Van Dam, why don't you fight Brock Lesnar? Why don't you do that?
Then it disappeared for 4 whole years. When it came back in 2006, Booker T defeated Bobby Lashley. Now, Booker T, one of the most entertaining kings ever.
Dude.
He was fantastic.
Booker was awesome.
He even talked with a really horrible English accent. He became King Booker. King Booker. It was so great. It was so bad. It was fucking great. That's how good he was.
That was unbelievable.
It was so damn good.
We have a message over the wire from Raul that the King of the Ring in 2001. Does that say, Tim? I don't have my bifocals on.
Oh yeah, I was at King of the Ring 2001.
I was at King. Okay.
Was that Raul? If I'm not mistaken, that was Shane versus Kurt Angle when he threw him through the glass. Because if that's what he was, then I was at that one too.
Put Donnie's comment up right now. Put it up there.
If I'm not sure.
Donnie, you're awesome.
Donnie,
I used to be I was an indie wrestler. I wasn't like a super popular one. I mean, in my region I was, but I wasn't anything like my buddy Vince or my buddy Joel or like the guys I worked with. They were like really up here. I flopped in for 5 years and flopped out, but I had a good experience. But one of my experiences, I mean, you always meet dicks, and Rob Van Dam's a dick. Edge is cool, though, by the way.
Donnie, ask him about Ted DiBiase.
Oh, no. You told me to calm down.
All right, we'll save Ted DiBiase for another show. But
we will.
You're the second person to tell me now how much of a dick Ted DiBiase was. I met someone else who said, "Oh, he's such an asshole. I was like, "Okay." That I didn't trust you, Eric. Not that I didn't trust you.
No, but it strengthens the veracity of what is out there. So now, I guarantee you, you're going to hear more about how much of a dick Ted DiBiase is.
All right. So me and Raul went the same show because I was.
I'm not saying if he was at a buffet, I would trip him and then just throw potatoes on his head and walk away. I wouldn't do that. I would.
He's not beefcake.
He's not beefcake. No, I wouldn't push him out a window into oncoming traffic. No, I wouldn't do that. No.
All right. So we got Booker, who was a phenomenal, phenomenal king. Next year,
Booker
William
was so great.
Again, takes a year off for some reason. 2008, William Regal defeats CM Punk. Really?
Ooh, Regal, my man. Regal's my man.
Did he live the gimmick?
I think he did. He had that big robe, and he was the snooty Englishman. That's perfect for a King of the Ring.
Okay. 2010. We're skipping years here. Sheamus defeats John Morrison. Sheamus was kind of a king, but he's trying to be more of a Braveheart type. Didn't really go over as well as it should have.
Yeah, he's got to quit lying about his height, too.
Bad News Barrett was actually a very good king. He defeated Neville. He lived the gimmick. I miss that guy. That guy was skilled, man.
Wade Barrett? Yeah, he was awesome.
He was skilled.
He's a tough guy, too. He left. He's a real tough guy, too.
Yeah, he looks like one. And finally, in 2019, Baron Corbin, who did live the gimmick, and that dude is just an all-around prick of a heel anyway. He was a great king also.
He was
like
a
I said,
king.
Coming up Thursday this week, we have Finn Balor versus Xavier Woods. I don't see Finn Balor wanting to be a king. No. I like Xavier Woods, considering the other members of the New Days have got their props the last couple of years.
Are they going to throw us a swerve, Tim?
But Finn Balor, I think they want the king character. And I think Xavier Woods is already pushing that he's going to be a funny king character. He might even turn heel. We don't know. But I'm just saying he's going to make a funny ass king, and they need a character like that right now.
Well, Charles Xavier agrees with you, Tim, and he knows what you're talking about.
Charles Xavier picks Xavier Woods.
He does. Cool. Charles Xavier picks Xavier Tim.
See? Beautiful. I like it. I love
That's why you're. That is why you're the hardest working man. in
that's why the streak lives. The streak lives. Awesome. All right, so. That's the complete history, really. We're not going to get into the actual pay-per-views. We just wanted to go through the actual Kings. Maybe we'll come back at a later time and bring up the actual pay-per-views, all the other matches. Like you said, Raul brought it up. The Mankind Undertaker Famous Hell in a Cell was at a King of the Ring, but no one cares about the rest of that card because of what happened. No. All right, so basically, we got Harley Race, Randy Savage, Owen Hart, Mabel, Booker T, William Regal, Sheamus, and Bad News Barrett, and Baron Corbin are all the guys that you can pick as your favorite kings of all time. We all know who. Donnie already said it. Yes, he did win back-to-back. Actually, they won three in a row. Brett won back-to-back, and then Owen won the following year after that.
Yep, so it was three hearts right in a row.
Three straight hearts in a row. You are correct.
Probably the best wrestlers in the company at the time.
And Wade Barrett is a commentator, but he's a very good wrestler. I don't know why he really has.
He's a commentator on NXT now? Wade Barrett kind of back?
Yeah, he came back in a way.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've got some bad news.
So completely honest with you, Eric, I'm going Randy Savage, and then I'm going to number two, Booker T. Booker T had me. Oh, you know who's not on this list? Haku. How come Haku's not on my list?
Where's King Haku?
He's not on here.
Because he didn't win a tournament. He just beat Harley Race for the title.
Oh, that's what it was.
No, he didn't. Tournament. No, he didn't. Harley Race got hurt, and Heenan crowned him the king. That's what happened.
Okay, but you know what? I'll throw Haku a bone and say he lived the gimmick.
Well, if anybody's
going to
throw...
And it was so bad, but it was so funny that he lived that gimmick.
You don't want to tell Tonga that he's not a good anything.
No, I don't want to tell him anything. I don't even want to meet that guy. I'm scared he's going to snap one day and put me in some kind of devastating move and kill me.
The Tongan death grip, or the Fijian head slice. I don't know.
So yeah, you know what? I'm going Randy Savage. I'm going Booker T from a straight up entertainment value, and then I'm gonna go Owen Hart as the King of Hearts. Those would be my three favorites, Eric. I don't know who think you'd go through.
Well, I've got to say that my favorite king, number one favorite, has got to be the Macho Man Randy. So it has to be the Macho King. Because anybody that can put Macho King and just run with it, it's already fit. Dude, Macho King is the man. Number two is, of course, going to be William Regal. Because I'm a Regal guy. I'm a grappling, you know, wrestler, tough guy kind of guy. So that's, but I love Regal anyway. And you know what? Number three, I got to go with Booker T. Because Booker T was a fucking fabulous as a king.
He was entertaining. Like,
I wish he was the real king of some
and his,
country.
And his wife stepped in as the queen, and she was hysterical too.
Yeah, what's her name? Charmin?
Cottonelle,
something.
Raul, what was her name, Raul? We're going right into it. You're right, Donnie. He said, pomp and circumstance. That's the song of a king.
Oh, not just come on. Donnie, that's so true, Donnie. That's so true.
Haku was better. Yeah, he was. I think he was too.
Yeah, he was a great tag team. As long as he was with another fellow Islander. Like, if you matched him up with, like, say, like him and like the 1-2-3 kid, like that wouldn't be great. Well, it would be funny though, wouldn't it? But
well, he was Colossal Connection.
Yeah, well, Andre the Giant. That's right.
Well, he did all the work though.
He did all the work. And then I thought him and the Barbarian were a great tag team. They were awesome. Like, you know, two big Tongan tough guys, like legitimately, like it would eat you for, you know, if you happen to die on the street, they'd probably just drag you away. And it's, you know what I mean? I know they wouldn't, but they might.
All right. Is that pretty much going to wrap us up? And as I said, say Macho King, all hail
Bambi
the Macho
says,
King. The greatest
Bambi
king of all time.
Name. Bambi Charmel. Has the name.
Charmel,
it's Cottonelle and Charmin put together.
That's right. Two toilet papers mashed together, you get Queen Charmel.
You get Queen Charmel, which, I love it. You know, if she ever watches this, she's going to change her name.
She watches it all the time. Are you kidding?
She does watch. I know. Booker watches it. Booker texts us. Don't think he doesn't. Booker texts us.
But, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for watching, especially to our world-famous Raul and Bambi and Donnie. Welcome aboard. We appreciate you coming in.
Donnie, please share, this is great.
Share us out to all your friends. Spread us all over Canada, like the Maple Leaf or hockey.
By the way, Donnie, I am a diehard Maple Leafs fan. Matt Sundin is the greatest captain of all time. Doug Gilmore, close second.
I'm a Ranger fan. I can't say nothing. But, yeah, we'll be back hopefully next week. We're going to have results from that shitty-ass Crown Jewel pay-per-view. We will be starting a preview Survivor Series coming up.
Can't wait for that.
We'll also continue with our Dark Side of the Ring reviews. I'd like to get into heels talk, but I don't know if any of my fellow co-stars have watched the show yet. I believe the first season just came to an end.
Yeah,
I'd give it a decent show. It was decent. It wasn't overwhelmingly great. I have some good cameos as far as CM Punk and Mick Foley. We'll talk about that maybe too. And anything you guys want to talk about, let us know. Follow us on Facebook. We have two pages on Facebook, Just Too Sweet Show. Follow us on every single possible audio. We're on Amazon now. We're on Amazon Music now, people. We're on iTunes, Spotify.
You can say Alexa. Radio. You can say, Alexa, play the Just Too Sweet Show on Pop Culture Pros podcast. And then she will say, playing Just Too Sweet on Pop Culture Pros.
No, she'll say, fucking A right, I will. And that's how she'll do. She'll play it just like that.
She better.
So yeah, we're everywhere. And said, especially you, Donnie, you're new here. Go on YouTube. Go to Pop Culture Pros. Click that little thing. You'll see all our shows because we have plenty of shows to talk about, which we will talk about right now real quick. Eric, A to Z is coming on when?
It's coming next week. We're hoping that the boss and I can hash out a date, but I think it's probably either going to be Monday or Wednesday. So
make sure you look for A to Z. He covers everything from A to Z. It's right in the goddamn title.
That's right in the goddamn title. I'm basically the nighttime talk show of pop culture pros.
Correct. And we have Empire 161, which has come to an end, but they might do a couple shows here and there. That's a Yankee show might come here to do a preview. We have, what else do we have? Oh, we have Granny's PC. You like Granny's comic books, comic book movies, comic book TV shows. Granny's PC is a show for you. Put It in the Books was last night. That's the New York Mets show. Nobody wants to watch that show, to be honest with you. I like the guys, though. coming That's soon. Shooting the Sith with myself. Star Wars all day, all night. It's coming. I'm just getting the finer points of the show together, the format, the questions, all that good stuff. But that is coming. It's not going to focus just on the movies. We're going to talk cosplay. We're going to talk tattoos, which I'm very excited about. Tattoos.
Cereal. I'm going to do cereal and cartoons.
We're going to talk about everything Star Wars but the movies. Because to be honest with you, I don't want to hear your bullshit critique about the movies anymore. No, there's no trolls allowed on my show. No all trolls. Fun. All fun Star Wars stuff. Comic books, stickers that you bought as a kid. I don't care. You name your dog Chewy. That's awesome. I want to hear about that kind of stuff. That's 100%. Coming. That's coming soon. Jader and Kyle, don't know when those guys are coming back. They're a great movie show. Hopefully they'll be back soon too. Yeah, Pop Culture Pros, ring that little bell. Subscribe. You'll get all the notifications about all our great shows. Eric, any parting words before we go?
No, just like Tim said, go to YouTube, click the bell, and subscribe. You'll get all of our shows. You'll get notified when we go on. Go to Facebook and join the Pop Culture Pros group. And we also have a website, popculturepros.com. You will also find ways to download and listen if you don't want to go to YouTube, if you don't want to go to Amazon, if you don't want to go to Spotify.
Yeah, if you find us repulsive, if you find us repulsive, there's audio versions. You don't want to
look at us. Listen to
audio versions. Exactly.
Yeah. Listen to
and,
us.
And we have two Facebook pages, ladies and gentlemen. Just Too Sweet Show.
Just Too Sweet Show does. Two of them.
Two.
Not one.
Like both of them. Join both. I will let you in. I am the admin. I will personally let you into those two pages. So come on in. I will.
You are in. You're already in. You're not there. You're already in.
You're automatically in. That's how I do things. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining us. Number 65 is in. I don't want to say in the books because that's what those idiots say. Number 65 is down for the count.
The ink's not even dry on the page.
Then, let's keep going. Let's be a wrestling term. Number 65 is tapping out. Tapping out.
Number 65 is just hit the finisher.
I like it. Just hit the finisher. I love it. So remember what we say every week, ladies and gentlemen. You might not like us, but learn to love us because we're the best thing going today.